The special meeting for the Port Commission of the Port of Houston Authority at 10:03. This meeting was called to talk about legislative issues that are in front of the of our legislature right now. And I think that fundamentally, the commissioners have been briefed with several different emails about what's on the table and what have you. I believe we are going up to Austin tonight and spending time tomorrow and on Thursday. I don't think there's much to be said about what's going on. I think it's pretty obvious the coalition fundamentally believes that they need this legislation to ensure that the resolution we passed at our last meeting is codified and can't be changed by the authority. That's fundamentally what the one of the bills is, and the other bill is the issue of separating the pilot board from the Port Authority, and that's the same kind of issue. With that said, I'm happy to. Do we have any appearances or people?
No appearances.
Okay. All right. So I think this is just an open session to talk about what the issues are. Roger, do you want to kind of update?
Mr. Chairman, I'm going to ask that we go into executive session as posted to consultation with our attorneys regarding this matter.
Okay.
I'm good with that.
All right. So we will go into executive session. Eric, can you read something?
I will do that. It is now 10:05 a.m. Port Commission of the Port Houston Authority of Harris County will now convene a closed session as permitted by the Texas Open Meetings Act and Government Code to conduct a private consultation with attorneys, including consultation regarding limitations on ships calling Port Authority container terminals. Port Commission will reconvene in public session after the closed meeting is adjourned.
Session, it is 10:53. Okay, after a public session, do you have a motion to talk about the motion?
Yeah, we could just go back to the item that was posted.
The item which was posted, which is, where is it here?
D.
D.
D? Continuation and deliberation of public comment and possible actions regarding the Port Commission Houston Pilot Association legislative matters to address one-way traffic impact on the Houston Ship Channel. Possible action on the resolution. So at this point, we'll go ahead back to D, and is there any conversation about you want to have?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to make a motion that the Port Authority, we use all of our efforts to oppose all the legislation in Austin with all the references to the port.
Second.
The one-way traffic and the pilots, pilot board.
Second. Is there any other conversation? Not, I'll call for the vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay, let's talk a little bit about the actual bills that are in place and some of the challenges, just some of the sort of issues that are sitting in the bills in the event that they do go forward even with our opposition. So, Eric, why don't you go through each bill and give us the issues?
General. Well, I think on the addressing 2223, which has obviously a different number in the House, I think the last week's circumstances illustrate some of the difficulties with putting a kind of limitation that's in the bill, putting that into the law. And just to expand on that a little bit further, that the Port Commission passed a resolution last Monday addressing what was at that time the status quo, and basically in the interest of reaching an agreement with the coalition and their point of view, the Port Commission passed that resolution. Then what we saw happen was on Wednesday, the pilots met and addressed the safety guideline that they had put in place, you know, many months previously, and which the resolution was sort of premised on. And they, I'll use my own term, they sort of eased the restriction that had been put in place on one-way traffic, and they opened up opportunities for having two-way traffic for certain types of vessels as specified in Captain Mitchum's communication. And that rule will take effect at the end of the month. The problem with the legislation is that A, it doesn't recognize that change in circumstance. And then to me, that's the fundamental problem with legislation. It doesn't recognize that it's a dynamic system where things change. And, you know, the pilots, based on their training back, had originally instituted rules, say, hey, we can handle these very large vessels, but with the following, you know, daylight one way. After having some experience with 10 vessels, pilots again revisited their safety guidelines and said, this is how we can now address these issues. I mean, this is now how we feel we can handle these vessels. The legislation, even though it has a provision that says 80% of the pilots could, you know, with 80% of pilots, there could be a change. The problem is that by putting a limitation, it doesn't really permit the normal process whereby the pilots gain experience to occur. I mean, I think, Chairman, you may raise the good point, and Captain Mitchum made a presentation at a previous commission meeting, how, or pilot board meeting, I guess, how over the years the tanker sizes had increased. And when the tanker sizes first increased, the pilots at the time, you know, the grandfathers of the current pilots or whatever it was, or another generation earlier, said, okay, we're concerned about these larger vessels. We think we have to do some things. We're going to have this, the following safety guidelines. And I'm assuming that the rules were the same at the time. They said 80% said, yeah, we have to have this safety guideline because we're concerned about wider tankers and we don't know how well they're going to handle, and we need to have experience. And so they put that in place at some point in the, and based on what Captain Mitchum said, in the 70s. So they made that rule. They got experienced, and then they eased the rule. And I think that's what we're seeing happen right here. They made a rule, a safety guideline, let's call it that, because that's what they call it. They made a safety guideline, and then after 10 vessels, and this was something that the working group had heard, that the pilots anticipated after getting some experience, they'd be able to go back and address the rule. The problem with putting legislation like this in place is it puts an impediment into that normal process of doing it. There are some other issues as well, some obvious issues, and I think the coalition realizes it. Notwithstanding some of the testimony to this in the state legislature last month, there are lots of one-way restrictions on this channel. They're not called one-way per se. What they are combined beamways. And so what that means is when two vessels that are over a certain width, or one of a certain width, and you add them together and the combined width exceeds what the safety guideline is, then it's one way. And the way this is written, potentially, at least right now, could also address that. So I think the fundamental issue with this is it puts in place regulation that, you know, reifies sort of a status quo that's in place right now. And it, although it attempts to address changing circumstances and learning and things like that, I don't think it does a very good job of doing that. And so, you know, bottom line, and you said this when you were in Austin at the beginning of March, I mean, this state has thrived on a light-handed regulation. This is the exact opposite. And so I think it's very, from my standpoint, and I guess this is me talking alone, it's misguided for the legislature to think that a piece of legislation slapped together by alleged counsel and some other people are going to successfully manage traffic in the way it's been and continue the growth and continue the success that's been in place for the last 100 years. So that's sort of my summary on 22-23.
Roger, I've got a question. Have we not had 100 or so one-way traffics caused by the oil thing down in the lower end of the traffic?
There's one-way traffic restrictions frequently. Yeah, just for instance, above the Bellway Bridge, I think from our numbers, there's as many as 1,500 transits.
Yeah. I'd like to hear from Captain Mitchum about the one-way traffic sort of issue above and beyond.
Okay, let's exclude.
I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, I mean just from our evaluation of 2018 traffic, there are 1,500 one-way ships that cause one-way traffic above the Beltway 8 bridge, which undoubtedly would cause delay of ships coming and going, although we didn't make an attempt to quantify delays. But also because of the combined length rule from Bayport up to Boggy Bio, I believe, there are 122 ships with a beam width such that it caused one-way traffic, 122 ships at a minimum to 18% of the traffic that was transiting the Houston Ship Channel. So there's one-way traffic besides container ships coming up through the bay each and every day. I would like for a comment on that as well.
Yeah.
So how many of those are tankers?
The 122 that I'm talking about from Bayport up to Boggy Bio were mostly tankers.
Were mostly tankers.
Mostly tankers.
So tankers are causing one-way traffic.
Yes.
Yes.
So what it is, that's not entirely true. So any vessel that's 106 feet in beam, so this is, I gave y'all at the last Port Commission meeting, I went over some of this, you know, how we schedule stuff. So it doesn't matter if it's a 106-foot beam cargo ship, like, or this car ship right here is one-way traffic above the Beltway, or above Shell, Boggy Bayou. So that about 40% of the Houston traffic in Houston goes above the Beltway 8 bridge. Now, about half of that is 106 beam ships and beam sizes grow. So we manage one-way traffic in the upper channel and the 300-foot channel every day.
Right. That's right. That's
yes.
the point.
That's right.
Yes. That's yes. Point. So, and that rule has
so,
been...
So the one-way traffic... So because of one-way traffic, other ships in the upper part of the channel are being delayed.
Correct.
Okay.
And always have.
Cool.
Yes. Right. We make special disposition for car ships. You know, we sail them at first light and last light. We've done that for years, you know, because they have to turn around right here. And as you can see, there's not a lot of room. So we turn those around in daylight. We have special rules for those and various other vessels, including length overall, daylight, you know, various restrictions for visibility.
And so does the legislation, y'all have obviously looked at the legislation. Does the legislation mistakenly try to eliminate one-way traffic in the upper channel?
The way it was written, it said some, you know, I'd have to look at it again. I don't have a copy of the 22.
I could read the piece that.
So.
Yeah, it says, oops, I just lost it on my phone. The board, meaning the pilot board, may not impose one-way traffic for more than one vessel a week, period. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Period.
So the unintended consequence is that you would be violating the law if you had one-way traffic in the upper channel.
That's correct. That would have to be, if it's the way it's written, it needs to say, if you're addressing large container ships, it has to say, you know, to a point in the channel just north of Morgan's
Point. So it needs to be fixed.
Galveston Bay. Right.
Yeah, basically Galveston Bay.
Gotcha.
Yes.
Okay. Good to know. There's one of those unintended consequences of drafting quick.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes. And okay. The way it was written, it said one port authority, one-way job a week, which mean after the car ship came up here, that's it.
Right.
No more one-way ships can go to Port Authority terminals.
Right.
We obviously don't want that.
Well, I
so
mean,
the port authority would be the only entity self-limiting one-way traffic to its facilities, right?
Let me also point out, I believe Enterprise has a lease at a Port Authority terminal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the rule would probably apply to the Enterprise lease premises.
Mm. Any lease premises from the Port Authority?
It's a Port Authority terminal, right?
That's true.
So I think it would impact Enterprise over at Harbor's Cushion.
Yeah, Mark, when large tankers go to Texas City,
yes,
is there one-way traffic for any of those going to Texas City?
So the one-way traffic, we're not supposed to meet them between for a one-mile section, but they have the Texas City Channel is no other traffic, no tows or anything for the VLCCs going into Texas City. We have about a 5-minute differential in there where we're not supposed, they request that we don't meet them. But when they do that, they file a Category 2 VTS request for a channel closure. So they tell everybody we're coming.
So there is a closure because of that?
Yes.
For 5 minutes or so?
It's about 5 minutes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's a little different.
And the only reason they have it there, that's in the 800-foot channel, but their channel goes down to 400 feet, so they want to be able to get in the middle and line up for their narrow channel. So Yes, sir. Any more questions?
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks.
If we're not careful, the bill could impact everybody wrongly.
Yeah, right.
Could cause a hell of a lot more problems than we saw.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's the issue that we've continued to say, is that this legislation has been so hastily put together that the unintentional consequences on the entire channel is, you know, could be totally catastrophic to what the coalition was ultimately trying to achieve. And what our position is, we continue to want to make it work for everybody. You know, so we just have to figure out how to make that happen.
Okay, is there a motion to allow our staff to work with the legislature to try to at least modify some of the provisions that could in fact be a problem for everyone in the channel, including the coalition?
Yeah, I so move that we do whatever we can do to get it straight to where we don't impact the whole channel or cause such a devastating effect that we're headed for.
Okay, I'll take that as a motion.
Second.
Any other questions or comments? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Ayes have it. Okay. Let's see. I guess we are done with this section at this point.
We're done with the special
meeting. So let's move to...
Mr. Chairman, before we close...
Yes.
I'd like to also, I don't know if we need a motion, but say to you that during this process that I think we would also welcome the opportunity to have the industry come back and sit down with the port and other users and still find a way that we can all work together. We want everybody to be a part of this. So what I'm saying, I would support if you get the opportunity to bring them back together for meetings with you and the industry, we welcome that.
Absolutely. Fundamentally, we're all in this together, and whether the legislation passes or not, or is fixed properly so that it at least doesn't have a negative effect that is an unintended consequence, we all have to work together, and we will continue to work together. There's no question about that, for the greater good of the region. Any other comments or questions? If not, I'll call for adjourn the meeting.
Okay.
All in favor say aye.
Aye. Okay.